Behold means see. If I say, behold, see, all things has become new. So God is saying, see it. All things has become new.
Pastor Benga's teachings constantly remind me of who I am in Christ, and now I can live every day of my life in that consciousness.
Pastor Billy's message has been precise and understandable for me. That helped me understand and see God's plan towards my finance.
You're about to listen to a message by Pastor Olubenga Taiwo, brought to you by Justified House Media. We know that you'll be blessed as you open your heart to receive God's words.
So, it says in verse 29, it says, moreover, okay, is it 29? Okay, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So, I was listening to Andrew Womack, and Andrew Womack was saying that some people have taken this verse about predestination, that there are those who are predestinated to be saved. If you are not predestinated to be saved, you cannot be saved. So people have taken this verse out of context. But when you use scripture to look at scripture, the book of 1 Timothy, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 3. It says, concerning his testimony, he said, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So God wants all men to be saved. But the thing about it, if we go back to the Romans chapter 8, verse 29, where it says, for whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. So the predestination there are those who now accept Christ. Do we understand? So if you accept Christ, then there is something that has been prepared for you already in Christ. Because he was using this to combat the teaching of, oh, you know, God is like, I think I taught a teaching about that, oh, God can just move, God can just do things, God, we don't need to do anything, like, respond. God just does anything. If he wants to save somebody, the person is already predestined to be saved. If he wants people to go to hell, this one, he can never be saved. But it's not like that from the scriptures. So the predestination is talking about here are those who now has accepted Christ. So in Christ, there is predestination. There are some, like, in Christ, everyone in Christ are saved. Everyone in Christ are healed. Everyone in Christ. Do you understand? So that's the predestination is talking about here. And he said to be conformed to the image, the stature of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. This makes us understand that Christ is our brother. Amen. Say, Christ is my brother. Alright, then verse 30 says, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. You see? So it is in Christ you have all these things. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. Now, if the 31 I wanted to go to, because I have to take you through this. It says, what shall we then say to these things? What are the things? All these things that are in Christ. He says, if God be for us, then what does he say? He says, who can be against us? Wow, this is wonderful. If God be for us, if God be for us. So, it is not, right now, it's not if God be for us. Now, God is for us. That's why Sinan said, God is for me. Not if God, you know, someone will say, if God be for us, so it's quoting that scripture. No. You have to take it that God is what? For me. And is if God is now for you, what do you now see? Nothing can be against you. Amen. If you go to the next verse, he says, he that spared not his own son, kontrabahafte. He said, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also? You see, look at it, with him, with Christ. With Christ also freely give us all things. That's why the scripture said that God had given to us everything. Everything. How shall he? Now, remember, Paul is talking here. If God. If. So now, it means that now that you know that God is for me, it means what? God has freely given to me all things. Amen. Amen. Then verse 33 says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? That means God's elect there means God's chosen ones. And who are his chosen ones? His chosen ones has been said in verse 29. Right? Whom he foreknow, he also predestinated. Those in Christ are God's chosen ones. So in verse 33 it says, who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. So God is the one that has justified me. He says, who shall? Who shall? No man shall. No man can. No religious person can. Can you take this for yourself? That no one can. That's what he says. No one can lay anything to my charge. He's not saying, he didn't say that, oh, maybe someone wouldn't do wrong. No, he's saying that who can? Who can? No one. He said, it is God that has justified me. Look at what he says in verse 34. This is powerful. He says, who is he that condemneth? Who is the person? This is powerful. Who is he that condemns? Who is that devil that condemns? Is it the mind? Remember, the mind that has the law, or the mind that knows that, oh yeah, you know, Jonah said God is greater than our hearts, talking about our soul, our mind. Your mind that condemns. He says, who is he that condemneth? Oh, Koli Bahafte. He says, it is Christ that died. Yea. Rather, that is reason again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. He says, who is he that condemns? This is poetic. Who is he? Who is he? Who is he that condemns? It is Christ that died for me. Can you say that to yourself right now? It is Christ that died for me. Who is seated at the right hand of God? Who also makes intercession for me? Christ makes intercession for me. He makes intercession. You know, I listened to Kenneth Hagin. Kenneth Hagin said that while he was very, like, aged, he said that now I see that I made several mistakes while I was young in my ministry and everything. But he said, now I understand the ministry of the intercession that Christ makes for me. That even while I was blinded to my wrongs, now I can see that even at those times, Christ's mercy still prevailed. Hallelujah. Yeah. So it is Christ that died for us. So this is expanding the love of God. Talking to us deeply is not just like, oh, God loves me. First of all, he said God freely gave you everything, right? That's what he said. He freely gave you everything. All things. He did not just say spiritual things. All things. All things. God had given it to you. It's for you to receive it. Verse 35 now says, who shall separate us? Look at it. When he's talking about who, he's talking about, because he knows that there are some certain kind of people, or there are some certain kind of mindset someone might have. He says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? He says, shall tribulations, or some certain circumstances that makes someone think, does Christ really love me? Because of this circumstance I'm passing through. It says, shall tribulation. 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 Because of the gospel. This is not even because of the gospel. If a tribulation is happening to someone because of the gospel, that's persecution. Right? That's not just normal tribulation. So tribulations are just things. Take for example, I don't know, there's no tribulation. That maybe because I'm beyond that. But tribulations, things. Maybe someone is sacked. And begins to say, oh God. Is that really God? Or something bad just happens. Begin to say, is that really God? He says, or distress. What shall separate us from the love of Christ? He says, tribulation or distress. Distress, like I was just explaining, maybe passing through some crisis, maybe some financial crisis, some things that are happening, and the person begins to say, oh, I thought it's been written that Christ says he's always with me, he will never leave me nor forsake me, the God that loves me. He says, all persecution. He says, all famine, talking about no food. He says, or nakedness, no clothes, or peril, or even to be killed. He says, as it is written. Now look at it. This is very poetic. He says, as it is written. That means it has been written. For thy sake, we are killed. It is actually written in the Psalms. All the day long, we are counted as sheep for thy slaughter. So if someone just stops there, someone will say, oh, you see? This is speaking about, oh, we are to be killed all day long. Look at what he says. It has been written, we are killed. But if you look at the next verse in 37, look at what he says. He said, nay. This is poetic. Nay. That means but. That means no. That means it's not like an agreement. Are you getting it? He says, nay, in all these things. Hallelujah. He says, we are more than conquerors. Say, I'm more than a conqueror. I'm more than a conqueror. Then what did he say that you are more than a conqueror of? What did he say? You are more than a conqueror of what? Already things. Great. So you are more than a conqueror. Can we go to 35? Let's see what you are more than. Because some people just say, oh, I'm more than a conqueror. They don't really understand. What are you more than a conqueror of? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, no food, no drink, no this thing, nakedness, no clothes. I just have one cloth. I just have two clothes. Says you are more than a conqueror. What does it mean when we even talk about more than a conqueror? It's a very big word. It's not just that someone that is going to conquer. It's just like you say that you're more than a victor. It means you have passed conquering. You have passed conquering. So if you are trying to still conquer something, it means you have not yet beaten it. Amen. But when he says that, it's just like a football match. Imagine maybe Nigeria and South Korea there to play. In Nigeria cannot say they are more than a conqueror. They've not even played. If the match is today by 3 p.m. But let me give you another scenario. Imagine the match has been played 3 p.m. First half, Nigeria and South Korea. Maybe it was 3-0 and South Korea was beating Nigeria. Second half, about maybe, I think they played for 60 minutes a bit. No, as in together. Is this 60 minutes? 90 minutes, sorry. 90 minutes. Someone say, person doesn't even know. Don't really watch football like that. All right. So, 90 minutes. So, take for example, maybe only 80 minutes, it was still 3-0. Now, then maybe the 80th to 90th minutes, Nigeria now finished the match 4-3. And Nigeria won. Now, this is 2020. You watch it at 3 o'clock. Now, imagine 2022. You were now maybe... No, because he watched it. Let's say someone who just came in from maybe from somewhere who hasn't watched it, or someone who just came from the village who just began to learn about football. Hey, there is a ball or something. And then 2022, the person was like, oh, this is Nigeria and this is South Korea, my country. So, and then the person is watching it in 2022, and then the person begins to say, this guy, what is wrong with this guy? The Nigeria, they finished Nigeria. They beat Nigeria. The person is even crying. And in first half, and you are there. You just look at this person that, are you crazy? Do you understand what I'm saying? Nah. The person is like, this is first half. This is the end of first half. Second half, the 30th minute, they finished Nigeria. They beat Nigeria. And you just look at this person that, are you sure? This match was played over 2 years ago, and Nigeria has won. Do you get it? So you are seeing it. Well, if you sit down in that, on the sofa watching that TV, you are seeing it as Nigeria is more than conqueror. Do you understand? Nigeria has passed it. This is a past tense match. Do you understand? It's different from someone who is just saying that, who is just still trying to the action. To you, all this like. All these things, I know where it's going to end. It will end in victory to Nigeria. Now, look at this. Can you go back? Let's see it. Go back to, I think that's 36. Right? Yeah, 35, sorry. Okay, 35. So it said, watch us. Okay, it said, shall tribulation. So now, if you're facing distress, probably an issue, persecution because of the gospel, I remember then, I still do, persecution. Maybe because you spoke the word of God, you spoke the truth, and people are talking about you, you said, this one, you said, righteousness and everything, or you are being scorned at. Persecution. Or famine. You're going through a particular, it might not be for the gospel. Maybe just that circumstance. You're going through famine. Famine, nothing is going in, nothing is coming out. Everywhere is just blocked. I understand this, though. I understand it very well. I remember about this time, I think that was last year or so. It's not even this time last year. Almost throughout last year, I was sleeping on the ground. I was sleeping on the ground in someone's house. If you see my bed now, it's a king's bed. I'm not joking. I remember there was a particular woman I used to buy food. So she saw that, as small as I am or something, or because I was very young and stuff like that. In the house, so she used to look at me one kind, but by the time I was to go and carry my bed from the carpenter's house or from the carpenter's shop, she began to respect me. But I'm just trying. There was even a time that even food, I remember a particular time, self, when I was sharing that this morning, when we moved to the house, I used to eat beans. I was eating beans a lot, beans, hot plate, and all. I really understand some of these things here. Or even salt. I remember there was a time that my life was at stake because of things I put on Facebook about the gospel. Someone was telling me he's a staunch Muslim or whatever. Or nakedness. Even clothes. Times that you're like, you have this money. You could use the money, the 100,000, the 50,000, to buy clothes, to buy things of this earth. But you decide to use that for the gospel. I understand these things, but I was understanding it from a different perspective. Victory. That I'm past these things. I see the victory from afar. Amen. Like someone watching the match. I know where this went. I know where it went. Whenever I'm passing, I know how it went. It ends in victory. Look at what Paul says here. Look at verse 37. Look at what he says in verse 37. This is wonderful. It says, yet in all these things, we are what? More than conquerors through him who loved us. Because we know that the greater one is in us. Hallelujah. The greater one lives inside of me. His name is Jesus. I'm born a winner, more than a conqueror. Okay, more than victorious. I'm an heir of his kingdom. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. No weapon formed against me shall ever prosper. The greater one lives inside of me. Before you continue the song, let's look at Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. In this same light, like I told you that I see things, we have to see things as a Christian, as a matured Christian, as a person filled with the Holy Spirit and the Word. Isaiah chapter 54, verse 17. See things from the end. He says, in righteous, verse 17. 54. He says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper. In fact, let's start from verse 15. Look at what it says in verse 15. It says, indeed, they shall surely what? Assemble. If you actually look at KJV, it says surely they shall gather. So as a Christian, I expect people to gather against me. Whether work, whether business, I don't care. He says, surely they shall assemble, but not because of me. Whosoever assembles against you shall fall for your sake. So I already know that, in fact, as they want to start gathering, I already know how it will end. All of you will fall. You see, because I'm like somebody who has already seen the match from the Bible. Amen. I already know. That's right. I was sharing that. Even in farming, I already know the end. I'm going to be wealthy. I know. In fact, I was telling her, there was a time I was sharing with her, I think about 3 months ago. Nothing was coming in. Nothing was going out. I was just like, ah. But every morning when I wake up, I would speak the word. I'll say, Father, I thank you because I know you love me. I know you are sending clients my way. I know you've caused favor are all around me. I'm saying the end. I said, I know you are working things already, even though I can't see it. Hallelujah. It's not, you know, some people when they pray, oh God, I'm suffering. Look at my business. I'm very small. They begin to complain. But when you begin to speak God's word, and you begin to tell yourself God what God has written about you. Let's look at 2 Corinthians. Chapter 9 verse 8? Or 8 verse 9? Which one? Okay, chapter 8 verse 9 says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though because he was rich, yet for your sake, he says, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. So I know this is the end. And I know the scripture that says that whatsoever I do, it is blessed. I prosper in it. Psalm chapter 1. I think that's verse 4 or so. That whatsoever the righteous does, he is blessed in his deeds. It's just like maybe look at what he says in verse 3. It shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of waters that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. So this is the end. I already know. It's just like maybe as we started the church. Let me use this. Thank God all of us are here now. Some would think that when it becomes big or something. No. I've seen the end. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is just practical. I've seen the end. Whatever we do prospers. The church is a ministry. I'm doing. And we are doing. It prospers. It doesn't have any choice. It might look like any whatever. I don't care. As long as the word of God has said it. And I'm doing God's word. It prospers. I know the Lord is leading me. Amen. The same way, that's how it should be with our lives. You say the end. And that's where we are. We are going to be doing some things today. Because the Lord ministered to me about... we are going to be doing prayer and prophecy together. From 1 Corinthians chapter 14. This is what you should be doing every day of your life. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Now let's see what is prophecy. Before we can even talk about prophecy, let's want to in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, Paul wrote about tongues. He wrote about spiritual gifts that comes through the Holy Spirit, by the Holy Spirit that is given to the church. Now, when we're looking about, I've shared about tongues. What I actually share is the unknown tongue, or what is called the unknown. Unknown is the word unknown is used because there is no name that is given to it. Just have this imagination that there are two kinds of tongues. There is one for ministry. Amen. There is one for ministry. And there is one for personal. So, the personal one is used for your edification. When you pray in every day, you can even, when you're praying by yourself, it's used for building yourself up. Amen. When you're speaking in tongues, it's used for building yourself up. That's the personal one. That's the one he was speaking about, unknown tongue. But there is one for ministry. And it comes with interpretation. It could be interpreted. It could be interpreted if the person speaking in tongues gives himself to it or receives it and works by faith. It can be interpreted. So we are going to be looking at this. I just give you the whole highlight for you to have the picture. So when you look at verse 2, it says, "For he that speaketh in an unknown tongue speaketh not unto men." So this is talking, like I said, the general tongue. "Not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth him. However, in the spirit he speaketh mysteries." So this is talking about the general tongue. Everybody receives the general one. Sister Ibike, can you turn off that mic? So that the battery... Yes, please, let's take note of that. So, yes, so verse 3 now says, so the first one, okay, verse 2, when you speak in the normal unknown tongue, you are building up, okay, it says that you are speaking to God, and this, God did not just give it all to special people. No, everybody is supposed to speak in tongues, and we have seen it here in Give me a minute, please. Verse Yes, verse 5. Thank you. I would that you all spoke in tongues. So Paul wants everybody to speak. He said, I wish you all spoke with tongues. So, and Paul is writing here. Okay, can we go to verse 37 so that we'll have the mind that it's not just Paul writing by himself. Paul was writing, 37, Paul was writing based on God's instruction. He says, if anyone thinks himself to be a prophet or spiritual, someone say, oh, me, I'm spiritual though. Me, I don't take some things in the... Look at what he said. He said, let him acknowledge that the things which I write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. Amen. So, these are commandments. That's the reason why we take Paul's message seriously. Commandments of the Lord. He's not just writing opinions. Oh, based on my ministry, based on, oh, my experience, I'm writing. No. He's writing commandments as is commanded of the Lord. So, let's go back to verse 2. So we've seen that, okay, in verse 2. So now, verse 2 talks about, like I said, the personal one. But if you look at verse 3, it says, but he that prophesied, he says, speaketh unto men. So prophecy, so it means that what does it do? First of all, we've learned that tongues is used to speaking to God, right? Tongues is used to speak to God. Verse 2. He says, when you speak in tongues, you are speaking to God. Now, in this one, that's the personal one though. He says, but he that speaketh, that prophesies, sorry, speaks what? Edification and exhortation and comfort. This is prophecy. Did you see any condemnation here? Did you see that he speaks of somebody else's sin? Oh, someone else mistakes. When someone prophesies, say, I prophesy to you, you know, he's doing prophecy and he's telling you prophecy of all your mistakes in your life. All the things you are not supposed to have done. All the condemning you. Oh, you blah, blah, blah. Did you see anything like this here? So the New Testament prophecy is for what? Edification. To build up people. Exhortation. Exhort means to, it's still in a way, edification. You know, in a way, and comfort, to bring comfort to people. Alright, but verse 4 now says, but he that speaks in an unknown tongue edifies, builds up himself. He says, but he that prophesies edifies or builds up the church. So because if I should just come here right now on Sunday and I'm just speaking in tongues for service, as in everybody's just looking at me like, what is this? I don't even understand what pastor is saying. Do you understand? So, but prophecy, but if we are having a spiritual meeting or a Holy Ghost meeting, speak in tongues and I interpret. He's going to explain it here, that prophecy comes through interpretation of tongues. Look at what it says in verse 5, the next verse. So you will see that this is a different kind of tongue. He says, I wish you all spoke with tongues, but even more that you prophesied. For he who prophesies is greater than he who speaks with tongues, unless indeed he interprets. Can you see it? Unless he indeed interprets that the church may receive edification. And now you know that edification comes in prophecy, right? Do we understand it? Prophecy is for edification, exhortation, comfort. Now, he's saying that by the time you interpret the tongues, what happens? The church is edified. That is prophecy. So, contra balaf tongues zolabandi. When you speak in tongues and you interpret, and we do this by faith, just like you're speaking, just like you begin speaking in tongues by faith. Prophecy too comes by faith. Alright. So, let's look at prophecy must be encouraged. Right? Let's look at 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. First Thessalonians chapter 5 verse 17 to 20. Okay, it says, pray without ceasing. Alright, next verse. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Next verse. Do not quench the spirit. That means do not quench. It's not like when you quench fire. Oh, some people are prophesying. You say, stop prophesying. Oh, stop speaking in tongues. These people, they just like speak. Don't quench it. Amen. That's what he's saying here. Don't quench prophecy. Look at what he now says in the next verse. Do not what? Despise prophecies. Don't despise prophecies. In the church, it should not be. Amen. Don't despise prophecies. So when a prophecy comes to you, when a prophecy comes to the church, even the church as a whole must encourage prophecy. Let's even look at what Paul talked about in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 39. Look at what he said. He said, therefore, brethren, desire earnestly to what? To prophesy. Say, I prophesy. Yes. So he's saying desire it. Some people desire wrong things in life. These are things you should desire. He said, desire prophecy. And do not forbid to speak with tongues. I wrote here in my book that speaking in tongues or praying in tongues is the key to prophecy. If you don't even pray in tongues, how can you even now prophesy? How can you even interpret and prophesy? Praying in tongues is the Kenneth Hagin will say is the doorway to the supernatural. Actually, from the scripture here, is the key to prophecy. If you want to work so much in the prophetic ministry, you must pray in tongues so much. You must give yourself to praying in tongues. You can't do without praying in tongues. And when you pray in tongues, you begin to know God's will. I'm not just talking about I'm not just talking about maybe scriptures and everything. No, I'm saying God's will for your life. And if you're prophesying, if you're speaking to somebody, the Lord, because when you're praying in tongues, you're actually opening yourself to the Spirit of God, to Him to walk through you. Amen. You're opening yourself, so you have to give yourself to praying in tongues. Let's look at what 1 Corinthians chapter 20, chapter 14, verse 26. Okay, first of all, let's look at verse 22. Let's look at verse 22. Look at verse 22. What does it say in verse 22? 22. Okay, it says, therefore, tongues are for a sign. Now, because some people used to like, you know, remember what Jesus said. He said, these are signs that shall what? Follow them. Mark chapter 16, verse 17. He says, they shall speak in tongues. So, tongues is actually a sign. But if you come here, it says, therefore, tongues are a sign. Not to those who believe. So it's not a sign to those who believe. Me now seeing someone speaking tongues, I'm not. Would you be moved? Do you understand? It's not a sign to those who believe. He said, but to unbelievers. He said, but prophesying is not for unbelievers, but for those who believe. It's a sign unto us. A Christian, some people when prophecy, it means God is in this place. They don't actually know that God is in this place, but it's a sign to people. Do you understand? God is in this place. It means God is around, you know. God is in this place. So prophecy must be encouraged. Now let's look at orderliness. How do in the church as we are right now, as we start, how do we go about it? 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. He says, how is it then, brethren? When you come together, he says, every one of you had a psalm, had a doctrine, had a tongue, had an revelation, had an interpretation. He said, let what? All things be what? Be done unto edifying. He's going to continue. It says, if any man speak in a non tongue, let it be by two, or at the most by three, and that by cause, and let one interpret. So now Paul is even going deeper, that one person can speak in tongues, another person can interpret what that person is saying. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's different from I speak in tongues and interpret. Now he's saying that I can interpret, I can speak in tongues, sister, they can interpret. It's all by faith. It's a work of faith. Amen. And this we will do today. Hallelujah. Look at verse 28. Verse 28 says, but if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church, and let him speak to himself and to God. Now, note what I said in this place. I first said that there are two types of tongues. The one that he's speaking in tongues is for himself and to God, right? But there's another one, because if you look at it, he said that if there be no interpreter, that means if someone, if I'm just coming here, just speaking in tongues, I'm just speaking in tongues, a message. That's what people were doing here. And said, no, that's wrong. If there's no interpreter, let him keep quiet. Go and speak in tongues on your own. Do you understand? Or if you are holding a prayer, speak in tongues on your own. In your house, speak in tongues. Or in church, if you say, let's everybody speak in tongues. Fine, let everybody speak in tongues. That's why I say, let him keep silence in the church. So it doesn't mean that nobody should speak in tongues in the church at all. That's not what you say. Do you understand? So there are two kinds of tongues here. The one for ministry. That's what he's trying to say here. So someone shouldn't come here to take a message and then for 1 hour you're just speaking in tongues. That is wrong. That's not scriptural. Because nobody will be edified. Next verse, please. He says, let two or three prophets speak, and let the others judge. That is the reason why the church is the church. We judge prophecy. The leaders judge prophecy. So someone will not just come and just say, it does say, blah, 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 and then just go. No, we judge it. It is judged based on what Christ has done. If it doesn't comfort the person, this is not of God. So nobody should get angry. Do you understand? If it doesn't fall in line with what God's word has said, this is not of God. So he said, let others judge. The next verse, please. He says, if anything is revealed to another who sits by, let the first keep silence. So this is talking about orderliness in display of a gift of the Holy Ghost. Now let's look at the next verse, please. He says, verse 31, he says, for you can all prophesy. So can you see that everybody in this church can prophesy? This is the commandment of the Lord. That all may learn and all may be what? Encouraged. That's the reason why we judge it. If it's something that goes, sorry bros, sorry ma, sorry sister, this is not of God. It doesn't encourage anybody here. Do we understand? The next verse, please. He says, and the spirits, this is very, very wonderful. And the spirits of the prophets. Remember, he said everybody can prophesy. Everybody can be a prophet at that time. So he says, and the spirits of the prophets are subject to the what? Prophets. He did not say this. He did not say that the spirits of the prophets are subject to God. Meaning that what? What does he mean? Someone will say, God is just taking me. I cannot stop. I cannot stop. What is this thing? Just saying different things. You just know that it's a lie. The spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. You can't stop. I remember then in school, there is one lady. I don't want to call her name because someone was by Noah. She just started, I'm like, oh, Benny, what is all the meaning of all this one? You just start shouting, please, what is the meaning of all this one? The spirit of the prophets are subject to the, if they are not subject to God, you can decide to, that's why he said, one by one. This one can decide to start. He said, if this one have a revelation, let this one stop. Let him keep quiet. Let this one start again. Orderliness. They are subject to the spirit of the prophet. They are subject to you. I can decide right now. I would decide right now to start prophesying. And I will. Amen. So then verse 33. Now that's where he now ended it. He says, for God is not the author of confusion. Because when all those things happen, people are confused. Now what is happening? What is really happening in this church, my brethren? I don't understand. What is really happening? So he said, it is not God. And if God is not the author, who is the author? The devil. Mother of peace.
Trust that you have been blessed. We love you to share your testimonies with us through our social media pages. You can also email us at justifiedhouseministries@gmail.com. You're invited to fellowship with us Wednesdays by 5 p.m. and Sundays 9 a.m. at Justified House Auditorium, Hamination. Beside all your teaching hospital, Shagam, Ogun State. For a refreshing time with the Lord Jesus, near your family.